However, when you get to the psychological things that change, it's a whole other ball game. When you work with the psychological changes, because there are a lot of new ones you face that are psychological changes. Some of them just increase and some of them appear that have never appeared before. Let me give you a little list to play with. You handled the physical list well? Try this one. Despair. Depression. Feeling abandoned. Lonely. Worthless. Frustrated. Worrying. Doubting, vulnerable, forgetful, losing self-confidence, petty, irritable, fear of the future, obsessed with possessions, meaninglessness, friendlessness, fear of being penniless, no one to touch, loss of psychological power, worship and fear of doctors, suspicion, paranoia. Those all sound pretty real. And they are coming and going and appearing more and more frequently and changing. As your social support system changes, as you may have to leave the home, as you may have to lose friends, as you may have to find that you have less responsibility, as the reward systems you worked for don't work anymore, you try to maintain psychological security by holding on to things as they are. And if you can hear the predicament that things change. My car gets old, my body gets old, that's obvious. The hard one to hear is that thoughts and feelings are things and things change. And that your identification with your thoughts and feelings is another source of the cause of the suffering. What we usually do under those conditions is we work in a therapeutic sense, psychologically, to try to find some psychological model that will allow us to age. And we try to substitute that for the one that is depressed and fearful and frightened. It's a horizontal shift. And there are certain qualities that we look for, we try to cultivate. Martin Buber says, to be old is a glorious thing when one has not unlearned what it means to begin. He's talking about somebody who knew how to begin. He said he was not at all young, but he was old in a young way, knowing how to begin. And most of the social programs that are not for the physical body are for psychological well-being. And they're in supporting education, the elder hostel, travel. If you read the AARP magazine, Maturity, you just see lots of stuff around keeping your psychological mental health good and your physical health good. To continue to do things, to be active, etc. To see aging as a challenge, as a psychological challenge, a challenge that is sufficient to motivate you to grow, but not so extreme so as to induce depression, regression, in other words, not beyond our adaptive capacity. To psychologically study the way in which we are responding to change in a habitual way that is similar to the way we responded to change at puberty, the way we responded to change in childhood, and realize we're just reliving psychological patterns over and over again, and to break our habits and get out of those things. Part of the psychological mental health of elders and aging has to do now with political power, with the Grey Panthers, with the AARP, with power. Now every bus will be a kneeling bus because we have the votes. Now that's a good example of something that is extremely useful and important and relevant when older people say, look, we are not going to be disempowered by a youth culture. We're going to redefine the game of what this culture respects. And we're not going to wait for somebody else to give it to us. We're going to take it. And we're going to take it with our political power. That is great. But I want to represent another voice here and say, do that and do it effectively. Don't get trapped in it. Don't get trapped in worldly power, because the business of aging has some other agenda to it as well. One of the things that eldering allows us to do, or aging rather, allows us to do, is become more eccentric. That's a psychological shift in role. Before, where you had to be a certain way, now you can sort of let it all fall apart a little bit more. There's a wonderful poem that many of you know, I'm sure, by Jenny Joseph. It's a warning. She said, when I am an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat which doesn't go, and it doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say, we've no money for butter. I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired and gobble up samples in shops and press alarm bells and run my stick along the public railings and make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick the flowers in other people's gardens and learn to spit. You can wear terrible shirts and grow more fat and eat 3 pounds of sausage at a go, or only bread and pickles for a week, and hoard pens and pencils and beer mats and things in boxes. But now we must have clothes to keep us dry and pay the rent and not swear in the street and set a good example for the children. We must have friends to dinner and read the papers. But maybe I ought to practice a little now, so people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I am old and start to wear purple. That's, of course, T.S. Eliot's proof rock. I grow old, I shall wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled. Shall I part my hair behind? Do I dare to eat a peach? I shall wear white flannel trousers and walk upon the beach. I have heard the mermaids singing each to each. I do not think that they will sing to me. And one more poem that I found in a Hallmark card. Of course, the psychological fear that we have the most is of losing our mind. This says, just a line to say I'm living, that I'm not among the dead, though I'm getting more forgetful and more mixed up in the head. For sometimes I can't remember when I stand at the foot of the stair if I must go up for something or if I've just come down from there. And before the fridge, so often my poor mind is full of doubt. Have I just put food away or have I come to take some out? And there are times when it's dark out with my nightcap on my head, I don't know if I'm retiring or just getting out of bed. So if it's my turn to write you, there's no need in getting sore. I may think that I have written and don't want to be a bore. Remember, I do love you. I wish you were here, and it's nearly mail time, so I'll say goodbye, dear. There I stood beside the mailbox with my face so very red. Instead of mailing you my letter, I have opened it instead. I I love my new bifocals. My dentures fit me fine. My hearing aid is perfect, but Lord, I miss my mind.